Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
All right, welcome back to it. 33 after on a Thursday. Glad to have you here. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. If you want to save for your child's education, you can save with the 529 programs here in Michigan. In fact, those 529 programs are bringing you this part of the program, the MESP 529 program, saving your kids' college future. Save with MI529.com. Save for your kids, your grandkids, the kid down the street. Buy tuition today. At today's prices and get to use it later. It's a great program. Save with MI529.com, bringing you this hour of the Steve Gruber program. Doug Sacklaben here, the communications director for Club for Growth, to talk about some ideas about a fair tax plan. But, Doug, I got to ask you something else first. First of all, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on again.
So where are we at Club for Growth with our disdain, I suppose, for Donald Trump?
I think what we've been saying, you know, is that, listen, we're never Hillary. I mean, she's obviously a terrible candidate and antithetical to everything that we would hold on economic issues. The concerns with Trump are that he's unpredictable, but obviously if he lives up to the, I'll say to the website, because that's probably where the statements are the clearest and the most forthright, then we're in good shape. Our sense
I think
been,
the term...
You know,
yeah, maybe Trump's erratic. Maybe that's the term. Erratic sometimes. Is he just, you know, he just goes roaring out through there. Maybe that's the term. But, you know, people seem to like it to some extent, but he's still losing to Hillary right now. Is the Club for Growth wanting to get on board and fight for him?
You know, we're working on House and Senate races, and frankly, it's an issue of resources at this point. I mean, we've got enormous Senate races in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Florida. So our money and focus is entirely on those races and the House races that we've been winning to ensure that at least, you know, we protect Congress and try to put as many economic conservatives as we can there.
All right. Now, let me read you something funny. We're going to shift gears now. Here's something funny. We want a tax code that works for taxpayers, not tax collectors, said Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. This is, apparently he said this before we decided to go and bail out Puerto Rico in the most asinine move with American taxpayer dollars that I've seen in quite some time, and I've seen some real maneuvers lately. Then they bail out Puerto Rico, paving the way to bail out Illinois and New York and California and all the other states that have been completely reckless financially, and it got easy margins of victory. Bipartisan support, it sailed through. And I'm like, what a joke.
Yeah, we saw a number of the Freedom Caucus members who were against that and who fought it, and primarily on the basis that you've now put the taxpayers on the hook. So I couldn't agree with you more. I don't understand the logic behind this, other than the argument keeps being made that somehow this gives Congress more authority in the situation. What it really does is gives Congress, a la the taxpayer, because we're funding it, more responsibility now to bail them out.
I think you just used the term logic and Congress in the same sentence. I'm not sure that works.
Maybe not. Yeah, you're probably right.
Let's go back to a perfect world. Let's go back to a perfect world, and let's say for the sake of argument we could get a better tax plan, and let's say that the Republicans could actually do something to the benefit of the American taxpayer. You guys seem to like the idea. Tell me what it's about and if it's really possible.
Yeah, I mean, the good and the bad of it. The good side is that the plan itself is actually a pretty reasonable one, in that it would take the corporate tax rate 35 down to 20. It would take care of a pass-through rate that's been a problem for a lot of small and mid-sized business owners who end up paying on their individual taxes and getting dinged, and it would bring down basically a Main Street business rate. It would lower the number of individual rates, bring the top one down. So it does a lot of good things. The downside, of course, on any of this is it's been 30 years since we've had significant tax reform. This plan got rolled out on a Friday afternoon, which I think speaks to the commitment of the conference. You don't usually try to make big news on a Friday afternoon. You just sort of throw stuff out there that you know won't get much coverage. So I think there's some concern as to the level of commitment to this, but it's desperately needed, and the plan itself is fairly reasonable if they actually follow through on it.
No, but what's it going to take to get there? That's the real question. How do you get there, you know, through this political landscape? The Democrats agree with nothing, it seems, that would save a nickel to the taxpayer because they, well, they just seem to think they can get more and more and more, and it's all good.
Yeah, and here's the place where, and I'll say something nice in Trump's direction. I mean, here's the place where a president who uses the bully pulpit well and actually harnesses the American people to either complain or exhort can actually do something, because you're going to hear, no matter what, next year, neither side's going to get to 60 in the Senate. It's going to be pretty evenly divided again, and so it's going to be this things go there to die for the most part, and unless there's a president who can push the Senate's hand to force some of these bills and get some bipartisan agreement on some of this stuff, we probably won't get any. We'll just keep nibbling around the edges like we've been.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, because you look at the Senate. The funny thing that I've noticed, and maybe you can help me, with Doug Sacklaban here from the Club for Growth, when the Democrats are in charge, they find the most partisan people they can, i.e. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, to be in charge of the different chambers. They find the most partisan, vocal, histrionic people, if you will, to get out there in front of the cameras and scream and pound and carry on and carry the message. The Republicans put out Mitch McConnell, which you sometimes have to drive a stake in the ground to actually see if the guy moved. And the same thing with Paul Ryan and other lackluster leaders that have, you know, oh, you know, we don't want to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings. And it's like, really? It's bizarre to me the way these two different parties approach it, because, I mean, can the Republicans not find a firm on Madison Avenue that's available to them?
Well, and you watched it again just in the past, and obviously we don't deal with the gun debate, and I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, Steve, just the way after Orlando, the Republicans found themselves almost immediately back on the defensive and saying, oh, sure, you can have votes on all this stuff. And there was no forward, proactive sort of let's attack ISIS, let's bring, you know, let's deal with some of the national security issues. And that's just McConnell's modus operandi. It just seems like this so-called good governance, where you be the sort of amicable party that tries to get along, gets trounced every time. And our firebrand guys who are willing to fight get, it's almost like the party's embarrassed of them.
Well, you know, that there's the truth. There you hit it. And we just want to go along, get along, be polite. Well, polite doesn't work, you know, and the other side, the other team doesn't work on polite. The other team works on in your face. Here's what we're going to do. We make demands, and no matter how outrageous it is, they send out Harry Reid, you know, Mitt Romney didn't pay his taxes ever, you know, and just completely outrageous things that are so out of, you know, the realm of truth, and it just goes through. It irritates me to no end that the Republicans are incapable of fighting fire with fire most days, it seems. I'll give you the last word.
Our side does a terrible job of pushing back. Monday afternoon when the Istanbul attack happened, the Democrats were on the House floor again with this whole gun issue, when clearly ISIS is at the heart of it, and showing themselves to be tone deaf, and our side just kind of sits on its hands and hopes they'll embarrass themselves when, in fact, they just take over the media cycle again.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Doug, I appreciate it as always. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Pleasure, Steve. Thanks a lot.
There you have it. Doug Sacklaban, everybody, Communications Director, Club for Growth. You know, how is it that one team can figure out how to get it done and the other one's just, like, lost at sea? Thursday here on the program. We'll be right back.